This is 94.3 WYBC, the rhythm of the city, and welcome to the Electric Drum. I'm Jose Candelario, and today I am joined by Miss Garrett, Mayor of Hamden.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm doing great.
Tell me a little bit about your childhood and where you're from.
Sure. So I grew up in Michigan. I lived near Ann Arbor, a little town called Chelsea, Michigan. That's where I went to grade school, middle school, high school, and had just a really nice, normal childhood. I went to the University of Michigan and got a degree in naval architecture and marine engineering because I grew up sailing with my dad. So my dad, we didn't have a lot of money growing up. We didn't have a sailboat, but my dad was a really good sailor. And so other people who had money and had a sailboat would just let him use it. And so I grew up sailing and got into naval architecture because I wanted to build a sailboat. So, you know, that's kind of what I wanted to do when I was a kid. So I have a degree in engineering, essentially, and it served me pretty well. But I was in the marching band. I ran track and cross country. And kind of just like a studious little nerd kid.
You said that economically, you mm-hmm. were not as so to speak, you didn't have a silver spoon.
Yeah.
How were those years and watching your parents navigate that?
So, you know, we always had what we needed, but, you know, we didn't go on like crazy vacations. You know, I didn't have that experience, you know, going and traveling, going to a bunch of different states or out of the country. But every year we would take a little sailboat trip for about a week and make a bunch of food and cook it on the boat. And after the big race that my dad would do every year, we would bring the boat back down the coastline of Michigan. And that was our family vacation. It wasn't, you know, the, you know, ritzy kind of vacation, but it was really cool. So I had an awesome childhood because my parents always, you know, tried, it was kind of like work hard, play hard. But they couldn't afford to kind of fund that lifestyle. So we did what we could.
You mentioned your father a lot.
Yeah, he's pretty cool.
What are some of the lessons that you know, you grew up watching and learned?
So my dad was very involved in our church, and he was very involved in Boy Scouts, and he didn't kind of just go. He was always like serving. And so I think that I got my service from him. He, you know, would just really get involved in the church, and he was like the pack leader for Boy Scouts where I lived, and always trying to get me to participate in things. For church, they would raise money every year to help out this school for severely disabled kids, to send them to summer camp. And so for Easter one year, he had me wearing like this stinky old Easter Bunny outfit trying to collect money. So it was a, you know, we did some different things, and he was always roping me into something.
There you go. Always serving the community. That's the foundation, you know. Your mother.
Yeah, my mom and I, we have a great relationship. She always worked really hard, and she would, you know, always wanted to make sure that everything was perfect. You know, I would help her clean the house. She enjoyed throwing a party, and I would help her with that. She was definitely the planner to my dad's just very sporadic and spontaneous kind of nature.
Oh, God, so sweet. Any siblings?
I have two younger brothers. My middle child, his name is Aaron, and he has a family with three young kids. He is a really talented painter. So he likes to paint on canvas, but he also is really good at using chalk. So where he lives, they have like these kind of outdoor festivals, and he will do chalk sidewalk art. And so people will watch him in a couple of hours put together these really cool chalk drawings that look like they are on a canvas, but it's, you know, in a parking lot. And then my youngest brother, Joe, he has one young child, and he just got into HR. And, you know, just we all kind of, you know, grew up with boating, and so they're both really good sailors. I don't really do that much anymore because I don't have time, I don't have a boat, you know, but they, you know, with my dad have that access.
Need a lot of skills to sail.
Yeah, but when you kind of grow up doing it, you know, it becomes second nature.
You're the leader of your own little tribe then. You were always looking out for your younger brothers, and even though they were younger, they looked out for you.
I would say that I was kind of the mother hen, you know, for a long time. And then by the time, I definitely wasn't always nice to them. we fought like siblings do. And then I got into probably high school, and my brother was 3 years behind me, you know, went to college, and I'd come home pretty frequently to see them because I was just, you know, a couple minutes away.
Wow. Paving the way for them, being an example.
I hope so. Yeah.
So you were a studious person in school. Did you ever run into the mean girl club or things of that nature?
Here and there. I was quiet and shy, and so I probably didn't really look for that kind of thing. I have really good friends from high school that I stay in touch with, and that, you know, we kind of kept to ourselves, I guess, a little bit.
Very good. And that's how you survived high school.
Yeah.
Very good. So tell me now, you graduate college, mm-hmm. and you go into the real world. What are the first opportunities?
Yeah, so I came out to Connecticut for an internship and decided to stay here. I got married, had three kids, and a small business. And when I'd say my daughter's 18, I have a son who's 17, his birthday was yesterday, and another son who is 11. When the youngest was about 3 years old, I got involved in the Democratic Town Committee, helping Democrats get elected. And then I got on to the Legislative Council. And I really started, I guess before then, when I was on the Democratic Town Committee, really got involved in our schools, got involved at the Board of Education, going to a lot of their meetings, and I built a reputation for myself of communicating what was happening at these meetings with people in the town, so that, you know, sometimes it's just communicating, like, you know, what happened, but also explaining what that all means, and built a lot of trust that way.
Let's go back a little bit, because you say sure. You had a small business. Mm-hmm. You were an entrepreneur here in Connecticut. What were the trials and tribulations that you faced?
So the small business was I owned rental properties with my now ex-husband. And I would say just making sure that, you know, that the houses were, do some small renovations, that kind of thing. Dealing with the financial pieces of, you know, banking, profit and loss statements, dealing with taxes and that kind of stuff. It's challenging to purchase real estate, especially now. During the time that we built the business, it was a little easier to purchase properties. It has gotten really hard in the last couple of years for people to purchase properties.
You're listening to the Electric Drum on 94.3 WYBC, The Rhythm of the City. I'm Jose Candelario here with Mayor Garrett, talking a little bit about her past and her resume. So what was your first run for office? What did you first run for?
So I actually ran to get on to the Board of Education, and this was, I'd say, in 2016. It was to fill a seat that was vacated. And so you needed the support of the Democratic Party, and then, you know, there wasn't an election, essentially. And so I didn't get that seat. And then a few months later, I ran for legislative council, and I won that election. So that was a townwide position at large. And so we're set up a little bit differently than New Haven. Obviously, we have some townwide positions and then 9 districts. When I ran for that, I had the support of the Democratic Party and got on the ballot and won that election. And really enjoyed being on the legislative council. I was the chair of the education committee, and so that was, you know, when I was really doing a lot of work, going to all the Board of Education meetings and communicating with people about, you know, why, you know, they were making decisions, what was on their agendas, and kind of explaining things to people.
Let's backtrack a little bit, because we take it for granted how the process works to even run for political office. Mm-hmm. Can you talk a little bit about the organization, some of the steps that you had to take, petitioning, et cetera, et cetera?
So, yes. So there are a couple of different ways that you can get on a ballot. One way is to get a nomination from the Democratic Town Committee. And another way is to get petitions. So you have to get signatures from, if you're a Democrat, you have to get signatures from Democrats in either the district or the town. And so I've had to do that before, and it is a ton of work, particularly for mayor, because you have to get a lot of signatures. And so it, you know, it's usually compressed into like a 2-week time frame, 2 to 3 weeks. And it is usually at a time that is very challenging, middle of the summer, hottest days of the year. So it is a lot easier when you get the support of the Democratic Town Committee, for sure. And so getting the support of the Democratic Town Committee, that requires a lot of work, though, too, because you need to convince those members to vote for you. And a lot of times what it requires is organizing the Democratic Town Committee so that, the people who are on the Democratic Town Committee align with your values.
You're running for councilman, right? The first position?
Yes.
Now, what does a team look like? What kind of people do you have to surround yourself by and
So the first time that I ran for legislative council, there were a few new members of the council who also had won their election. But there were a lot of people who had been there for a little while, and kind of the establishment council. And so a few new members got on alongside me, and it kind of started as a change in, kind of instead of maybe going into the mayor's office and saying, hey, you know, why are we doing this? And more quietly or in some cases, there were council members who would just approve of things without really asking a lot of questions. The group that I came in with, we had a lot of questions and found that there were a lot of ways in which the previous administration just was not making good financial decisions for the town. So we worked together to make some changes that included changing the way bond ordinances are written so that you couldn't use the money that was bonded without doing the project, And so we, I think, made some important financial changes for the town, but you really can only go so far as a council person. And I knew that we needed a change in the mayor's office because the financial decisions needed to benefit the town rather than kind of just hiding what was becoming a very bad financial position for the town.
And this affects the school education system and affects how they pay for public works, how they pay for police, how to equip the police properly with training and things of that nature. When you ran for councilman, your team consisted of a treasurer, a campaign manager. Did you have all these tools at the beginning, or did you have to play a couple of roles?
So not really, because when I ran at large, I ran with people who had been on the council for a while. We kind of just all pooled our money, bought some signs, put out some literature. And, I did some canvassing for that election, but not really a campaign manager. That came later.
you filled all the roles, right? You learned all the roles, and then you got to hire someone, and now you had expectations, right? So, because you already knew what it took. Basically, it's grassroots, registering people to vote.
Yeah.
How important is it to get registered to vote?
It is so important. Right now, we have our country is in a pickle. We have a guy running for president who has tried to overthrow the government. You hear a lot from people, my vote doesn't matter. There are elections that are decided by one vote. It happens more than you'd think. And I think that it is so important for people to cast their vote. And, a lot of times there might be somebody that you're voting for, but that doesn't always happen. Sometimes you have to vote for what's best. And I think it's important to take a look at policies that'll impact you. Take a look at the individuals who are running and know that, there are people in your life who are making decisions for you that are voting. Your landlord's voting. The people who are bank CEOs, they're voting. People who have a lot of money and power, they're voting. Harness your power and vote.
Easier to get someone to register during a presidential campaign versus an off year.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Yeah.
But equally as important.
Yeah. So the one thing that I'll also say about registering to vote is that a lot of people will register to vote through DMV when they get their license renewed, something like that. It's really important that if you want to register with a party, if you want to register as a Democrat, you need to make sure that you have registered as a Democrat, because we've seen very frequently that people will register through the DMV and find out that they can't vote in a primary now because they're registered as unaffiliated, meaning that you're not affiliated with a party. And so it's the way that the DMV registers people, I think it's a little different. People need to just check to make sure that they're registered and that they're registered the way they want to be registered.
Does Hamden clean their list out after a certain amount of time? So people should always check up if they haven't voted in a while to make sure they're still?
Yes, yes. So all municipalities do that, where if you are an inactive voter, you're taken off the rolls. That's not something that I decide. That is something that the state allows, and registrars of voters do that work.
Okay, mm-hmm. so they're cleaning the list. You sound like you're a fiscally responsible individual. You come in, your first is to make sure that the bonds are used properly. And you're now always, what are some of the battles that you took on?
So when I started as mayor, actually I'll back up. So in 2019, I ran for mayor and I lost. And the budget at that time, the council had made some changes to the budget and the mayor vetoed it. And a lot of that was because I was running against him. It was a political move. He vetoed our budget and the budget was underfunded, meaning that it was going to result in a deficit at the end of the fiscal year. And that is exactly what happened. They had a pretty big deficit. But even worse, coming around the bend was COVID. And so COVID kind of changed a lot of things. The budget that was underfunded resulted in our fund balance, our rainy day fund, the savings for the town going negative. That is a really big deal. And it means that your bond rating is going down. It means that as a result of all of that, we now have to we have to report to the MFAC, which is the Municipal Finance Advisory Commission, mm-hmm. Through the state of Connecticut. And it's kind of like a precursor or one step away from MARB, the Municipal Accountability Review Board. So when you have some bad financial results, they have you go to MFAC so that they can coach you on ways to improve your financial status for the town. And so so this all kind of took about 2 years. And so I ran again in 2021, and this time I won. But during the 2 years previous, we had gone negative in our fund balance. The previous mayor had to start reporting to the MFAC, and it wasn't pretty. The MFAC definitely had, they were giving feedback that, the town needed to take steps to replenish the fund balance and have a plan for growing the fund balance to a healthy level. And so that's the work that I've been doing for the last 2.5 years. There was a plan that was started in the finance department before I got there. And the plan was only going to work if you actually funded the budget. And so I moved forward with that plan, and we were successful. We carried it out. We did what we needed to do. And we went from in 2.5 years from a negative fund balance, negative $2 million in the fund balance, to $28 million in our fund balance.
Wow, a lot of math.
A lot of math.
For the average constituent out there, how does it affect them? How does it affect the taxpayer?
Good question.
When city is functioning at a surplus versus a deficit?
So it means a few things. First of all, we don't need to borrow money for an emergency. We have our fund balance to rely on. We get reimbursement grants through the state, usually through DOT, Department of Transportation, where they'll give us the money to replace a bridge, we have to come up with the money first, and then they reimburse us for the cost of that bridge. Well, if we don't have any money, any cash flow, we've got to go and borrow that money. So now we just fund projects. We can fund a project out of our fund balance and replace it rather than having to borrow for all of that. Which means, you know, we're paying high interest rates because our bond rating was not good. We've made improvements there. So that means that our interest rate is improving for the town to borrow. And we're actually getting a lot of projects done right now. We have been fantastic at getting grants. So a lot of competitive grants, like through the Community Investment Fund, we've gotten some cool grants for that. In Newhall, we have our old middle school, which has been sitting there for 20 years, dilapidated, broken windows. That building has been set on fire a lot of times. That building is...
This is the one on Newhall Street.
Yeah, it's getting demolished.
It's fine. Okay.
So we...
And that's sitting on an old dump site, so it's getting demolished. And so are there environmental concerns there?
It's already been totally remediated, but the building itself has some asbestos and, you know, other... You know, it's not a clean building.
No.
So... Right now we are very close to contracting with BL companies to come up with a plan for demolition and abatement. And it also includes community engagement so that we can communicate to the neighbors, this is how we're keeping you safe during the demolition. So there's, you know, it's planning for an entire year before we can even start demolition.
You're listening to the Electric Drum on 94.3 WYBC, the Rhythm of the City. Jose Candelario here with Mayor Garrett, Town of Hamden. Now, we want to talk the T word. Prices are going up everywhere. Yeah. We have inflation year over year. The city has to pay for things. Things are getting more expensive to get paid for. And is taxes really, is that the only way to generate revenue, or is that the main source? And how do you feel? I mean, you said grants to offset those rising costs.
Well, so a lot of the grants that we get are for projects where we are proposing a project and asking the granting agency to fund it. So we put in a community investment fund request over the summer for an affordable housing development. It's a joint application with Regan Development, and it's the affordable housing is 63 units, 60% AMI, so very deeply affordable. And we actually just got that approved in the last round of SIF that was announced about a week ago. The award that we got was the largest award given out in that round.
Mm-hmm.
The next one was, so we got it for $8.6 million. The next highest was $8 million that Bridgeport got. So DECD gave us feedback from our application saying this is exactly what they want to see. And they were really happy with what we put into that application. So we've gotten awesome grants, but a lot of these grants don't really address the operating budget, which is where the tax bill comes from. I delivered my budget address to the Legislative Council as well as the town. And in my budget address, I proposed a 1 mil decrease. And so we are able to do a few things to lower the taxes this next year and improve upon our services. We've done a lot of work to find ways to improve upon services. So we are looking at red light cameras. So I get a lot of emails from constituents, a lot of people emailing me about taxes. A lot of people are emailing me about traffic calming, traffic enforcement, speeding in their neighborhoods. And so the legislation that was passed by the state allows for red light cameras now. We met with a vendor who explained the way that their process works, where they would put the hardware on the red light, I'm sorry, on the signal poles, traffic signal poles, and how, you know, they get all of their data. They send the information to the police department. The police department would have to confirm, you know, that it was a red light. There are not faces included in the pictures that they send. So there's no like facial recognition included. But the town of Hamden would be able to receive $25 for each fee. And $25 doesn't, so that's what would come to the town of Hamden. The real ticket is, I want to say about $60. Mm-hmm. And so we get these fees, but if you look at how many people are going through an intersection every single day and how many people are running red lights, that number adds up really fast. So we've put some revenue in our budget for red light camera tickets. We've put a little bit of money in for cannabis sales because we have two different sites where we're going to have cannabis dispensaries. And potentially more on the way, but two that we know of right now. And we're also taking some of the savings from previous years where we have brought in more revenue. We've had pretty large budget surpluses over the last couple of years from unanticipated revenue. So the last couple of years, in the last couple of years, we've had huge savings in medical because when I came in, I said, we're going out to bid on medical, which resulted in really huge savings on medical. The other thing that we did was collect a lot of back taxes. And the unanticipated part of it was that, remember when car prices went up really high? Mm-hmm. Well, we didn't really count on that in our taxes. And so I don't think anybody kind of really was predicting the way that that was all going to work out. So we got more car tax revenue than we thought we would. And so, you know, that created a pretty large fund balance for the town. And we're using some of that to give taxpayers a break this year.
I'm going to switch gears a little bit and talk about social. The social collective mm-hmm. that Hamden is growing into. A lot more minorities are moving in.
Yes.
Black and brown. What is your office doing to make sure there is total inclusivity in government function to represent its people?
So thank you for asking that. We have put a priority on making sure that the events that we are putting out for the town are incredibly inclusive. And so this went from, you know, putting out some concerts in the summer to now we had 50 years of hip hop last year. We had R&B and jazz. And then during the winter holidays, we had Silver Bells and more of a like Santa kind of event. We also had Kwanzaa celebration, Three Kings Day celebration, Hanukkah celebration. We are making sure that everyone feels like they have a place in Hamden. And the events have been a huge success. We had our Three Kings Day celebration at the Keith Community Center. And I was worried that we had too many people in that building. It was awesome. I loved it. And, you know, we're making sure that we're including small businesses. So like at our Three Kings Day event, we had La Isla Cater. At our Kwanzaa event, we had Daryl Purvis come in and cater. So we're making sure that, you know, the events that we're putting on are supporting the community and the community is supporting us right back.
And hiring practices within the government.
Yes, thanks for asking that question too. So we have been really intentional about making sure that we are growing the diversity of our workforce. Our workforce needs to look like the community it serves. So we have actually exceeded the, so just looking at our police department, for example, there was a New Haven Register article that was written that said that Hamden has a police department that most closely reflects the community in comparing Hamden, West Haven, and New Haven. And we've been hiring a lot of women. So just last year, the number of women exceeded what is the national average for women in police departments. And so we're not where we need to be yet, but we've certainly come a long way. And so we also have hired a permanent chief for our police department, Edward Page Reynolds, and just hired an assistant chief for the fire department, Shelley Carter. And so I think that, you know, well, I've also hired a new personnel director, Jordan Bryan. We are being very intentional about having diversity in our leadership positions, as well as in our workforce.
To the young lady that's inspiring or wants to have some kind of ambition in government and public service, what encouraging words would you have for her?
So I think it's really important to make sure that you're working on public speaking, that you're putting yourself out there in a way that you feel comfortable with, that you are just very intentional about saying what you believe, connecting it to your life experience. And it's challenging, but, you know, it is challenging as a woman in leadership. I am constantly in rooms where I am the only woman. And you have to have a confidence about you, knowing that your voice needs to be heard, that your questions need to be answered. I was in a meeting with UI for storm preparedness, and it was 12 men and me, and they, you know, we're talking about making sure that the town is prepared, ready to go if we have a tornado, like we've had two times in the past, decade. We need to be prepared. And I felt comfortable. I've always felt comfortable being in those spaces where there are a lot of men. And that probably has a lot to do with my engineering degree. Engineering tends to be a male-dominated field, and so I've felt comfortable being in those spaces for a while now. But you really have to put yourself out there as a woman. You have to be comfortable in those spaces.
Very good, very good. Final words to your constituents out there. What's in store for the future of Hamden?
Well, Hamden is in a much better financial place. We've done a lot of work to secure our finances, and we've got some really good things coming. The work that we're doing in building up the new hall area is exciting, and we are really trying to make people's lives better. I want people to know that we're really trying to improve the taxes in Hamden. We're also trying to make people feel connected to the town, make them feel like the town is there for them.
Very good. Thank you very much for your time, Mayor Garrett.
Thank you.
Can't wait to see your work and come to fruition and your ambitions. Thank you so much. This has been the Electric Drum on 94.3 WYBC, the Rhythm of the City. I'm Jose Candelario, and like always, Thank you for your listen.